I would rather try and fail and know that, okay, fine, this person was right, but at least I know.
Yes,
rather you know than for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rather than when I'm 60, be like, what if I had done this? Yes.
Because we take so much information in, we absorb so much information, it's sometimes hard to know, right, what's me and what's everybody else?
Yeah, it's so interesting because you're right. When people say, like, do what you want to do and do what serves you, like, as much as I believe that and I'm like, you have to live life on your own terms, my live your life on your own terms has the biggest asterisk on it in the world.
I mean, I had a mentor that would say, oh, I just don't think this is for you. And I think I went away and I prayed and then I came back and I said, I'm sorry, I disagree. Yeah. But it took a lot for me to come back and say that to him.
Welcome to the Magnify Conversations. I'm Rachel and I'm one of the hosts today. If you're new, welcome. We hope that this content will be really helpful and beneficial to you. If you're a regular, it's great to have you back. And one way you can help us to get this out and to benefit more women is by subscribing to this channel. We would love you to do that. And today it's my privilege to introduce Sinead, who will be my co-host.
Hi, I'm Sinead Minka. I'm so excited to be co-hosting with Rachel on the Conversations, and where looking to have open discussions about faith, life, work, career and relationships and how our faith really works in the midst of all of those things. So I'm so excited to be a part of this today.
Yeah, let's get into this conversation. Ladies, I'm so glad to be here today. So great to have you with us, Abiola. We're going to be talking about knowing when the right time is to act on your goals. But actually, I'll get you to introduce yourself first and just a headline. On like who you are, what you're passionate about, or what you do.
All right, cool. So obviously you guys know me. I'm Abiola. I am the founder of SBM, which is a marketing company. I'm very passionate about creativity and commerce, mixing together commercial energy. But I'm also passionate about people being able to like self-actualize. So whether that's like a business being able to grow and reach its goals, or whether that's a person being able to like step up and step out into whatever they're supposed to be doing in life. So those things sometimes seem like very unrelated because I also have a podcast about all of that, like mindset shifts, and they seem unconnected, but I've just kind of connected them now by saying that it's like self-actualization.
And you feel like that's part of what you bring as well to that space?
Yeah, I think it's something that I've just naturally been passionate about from a young age. I don't know why or where it came from. So I'm like, if I can help people or organisations do that in whatever way, then I'm really happy.
So we've got some icebreakers for you today. Okay. So it's a fashion edition.
You're going to
love this. So unpopular opinion, fashion edition. Ugly sandals are in fact ugly. Agree or disagree?
Strongly disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I love everything ugly. I think, like, if someone...
So how are we defining ugly as well?
Just something that, like, makes...
A reaction.
If someone's a bit like, oof, like, is that nice? I think you're doing a good job in your house. Like, you never want to be too safe. I feel like my whole energy in life is a bit like, you've got to rustle people up a little bit, you know. So I'm into an ugly sandal, I'm into an ugly top, an ugly everything.
Do you own a quote-unquote ugly sandal?
Yeah. I have, like, big dad sandals.
Right, okay.
So I think that probably, counts.
People could constitute that as an ugly
sandal. Yeah, I think that, in my head, that's the first thing I thought of, like, a dad sandal. That's what people normally, like... Yeah, I have quite a few of them, so...
Okay, I love this one. Gym wear shouldn't be worn unless you're going to the gym. I wear gym wear everywhere if I can. Like, gym wear's a fashion choice now.
Yeah, I don't wear it everywhere, but there have been times where I do and I'm just like, the leggings are on today, that's what it is.
Yeah.
What do you think, though?
I think I disagree. Gym wear is real life wear. Do you know why? Because when you wear gym wear, you think that... your life is together. And sometimes when you wake up...
So it's delusion.
So sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you just think, you're like, you know what, I'm going to just look like things make sense.
Good. Yeah.
And maybe I will go to the gym at some point that day, or maybe I won't. So that's... Yeah. I think there's a psychology in it.
Yeah, I think so, actually. I even buy gym caps that I don't go to. I just love a cap.
Yeah, like, I like a cap.
I'm trying to, like, make a cap with my own slogan so that...
Yes.
But I love a cap. Love it, but self-merch, like, it's not going to be sold anywhere. Celeb dressing has become boring and everyone looks the same.
Ooh.
I think it depends. For me, it depends who you're referring to. But, I think if you look at the general consensus, there's a lot of similarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the look of beauty, I think there's always somebody who always is the I'm pushing the boat person on the red carpet. There's one person that dresses like with every fabric, and then there's one just the classic, beauties. It's like a routine, so actually it is. I was thinking about Fashion Police and the old days. I don't know if it's the old days. I loved Fashion Police because they really just ripped everybody's fashion apart. But now trends are so strong. Like you can't disagree. You can't shame. You can't. So I think, people are becoming quite generic in certain things. I think that anyway, in the red carpet especially. Yeah.
I also think, like, I agree with that. But the one thing that I will say is it's probably like that more with the people that we see the most. So when you think of a red carpet and you're like, so-and-so is going to be on the red carpet. Whereas people that maybe we've not always seen on the red carpet or maybe don't have as much coverage on the red carpet, like they're still doing quite interesting things. Like I saw like Greta Lee on the red carpet, I think, for the Golden Globes in like this amazing red outfit. And she looks great. I love the morning show as a show anyway. And I think people that maybe we haven't always seen, they're actually doing interesting things.
So to get into our conversation today, why do you think it's important that we're having this conversation today, Abiola?
Yeah, so actually it's funny because similar to the fashion conversation, this idea of like self-expression, I think self-expression is a form of like being your true self. And I think that being able to like have the confidence to go for certain goals irrespective of who's approved them or not is also a form of like self-expression and self-actualization. And I just feel like if there's one thing that we're meant to be doing on this earth, without sounding so dramatic, if there's one thing we're meant to be doing on this earth, it's probably just living according to what our unique energy, desires, vibe is. Why not? You know, life is short. We only get one life.
Absolutely.
I just think it's like a no-brainer. It's not easy, but it's a no-brainer that would be great to have.
I mean, I've seen you talk about success and defining it. And it's such a big word. It's such a journey. And, you know, when you think of success and how you've sort of helped even your clients or people to navigate success for themselves, how has that been for you, you know, seeing how hard it is for people to just not compare and draw out their own vision of what success is?
I think it's really, like, deep. Like, I think it's one of the biggest things that affects us in life. And I think for me, in terms of my context, I basically, like many people, I think, when you're younger, you're just before uni or you're in uni and people ask you, what do you want to do? And you just have no idea. You're like, where do I go? And I had always felt for a long time that I had like a hodgepodge of interests and nothing ever made sense. And I always say, like, for A-levels, which is like ages ago now, but in my A-levels I studied maths, English, French and fine art. So when people looked at that, they were like, so
interesting combo.
Who are you? What are you? And I think that's been my whole journey of like trying to create a life that reflects my strengths and my tastes and my interests, even if they don't look like they fit into a box. And that has like carried through. So right now I run a marketing company, which I'm very happy about. And I feel like it took me, I probably realized that I wanted to work in marketing in 2015. So that was like nearly 10 years ago now, which is crazy. I didn't really like expect that. That was nearly 10 years ago. And it took a series of steps and a series of years and a series of different things to reach that goal. That may not be my only goal in life, but at that time that was the goal, and there was a long process to get there.
Do you know, so I was just thinking about Abiola about like that hodgepodge, like I'm not one thing. Like I've got these five different things that I'm studying and I don't really know which direction I'm going in. Did you always have peace with that, or have you had to make your peace with that? Because I think quite often people want to push us into, you fit in that box. Like you're a lawyer, or you're doing this, or you like this, you're a creative, you're an academic. Have you always just thought, well, this is just like who I am and I'm just getting on with it and finding my way through? Or do you feel you've had to like make your peace with being that multifaceted and finding your own kind of way?
Yeah, I feel like personally I have. And I just think that I think it's like a gift. It's a blessing that that's not an internal battle I've had to face. I'm just like trying to enjoy my life. So why I just, I have a very big attitude of like, well, if I want to do it, then why not? Because, you know, it's if it's coming from a authentic place that isn't impacted by like external pressures and trends, then if it's in me, it's likely that like God wants me to do it.
100%.
Even when I was younger and I didn't really, I had like, yes, I grew up Christian, but I didn't really have my own faith. Yeah. I always just felt like, yeah, why not? And I think also, and I said this on my podcast about like having confidence, is that I also had like Nigerian parents, and Nigerians are known for like being overconfident. You kind of just think, well, if this person did it, like I can do whatever I want. That's kind of the basis that I live by. But on the flip side, what I have had, I remember there was someone I worked with once, and I really thought, oh my gosh, this person, she's doing what I want to do, but she's 30 years ahead. And I was asking her for advice very early on in trying to pursue marketing, and she just looked at my CV and she goes, well, you're not creative, so I don't know what you're like doing. And that it annoyed me. It didn't really have an impact on how I saw myself. I was just more like frustrated that she couldn't perceive who
you were.
And I feel like that's a very common thing that happens. And I think that's another side of the coin, that if you, I know that people definitely do navigate that internal conflict of, well, I should. But there's also then the external observations of, well, people expect me to X. And maybe they're right. And like how you navigate those things.
Just thinking about, you said about you sort of making the decisions that kind of serve you. And there's a lot of that going around at the moment. But I think a lot of people ask, oh, what's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my life? And they ask this question, but they don't trust their own self. Like, they don't even trust themselves to make right decisions. And, you know, how did you say, no, I'm going to trust myself? Because a lot of the time when we're younger, we do go off advice, mentors, oh, at least try the job for a year, see if you like it. And then you have a friend that's doing it. I quit after 1 week. But I may not be in a family where that can that run. So, you know, how do you say, I trust myself? And maybe there was a particular time in your life where you said, I trust myself, or I trust God enough to, everything stops. Or what was it that kind of helped you to trust yourself?
Yeah, it's so interesting, because you're right. When people say, like, do what you want to do and do what serves you, like, as much as I believe that, and I'm like, you have to live life on your own terms, my live your life on your own terms has the biggest asterisk on it in the world, which is basically that those own terms have to align with what God is calling you to.
Okay.
I thought I was going to sneeze there.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Yeah, so those own terms have to align with what God is calling you to. So I think a really good example is in 2019, on New Year's Eve, I think probably for the whole year, I don't have a memory of it, but given that this was my prayer point, I can imagine that obviously I'd been thinking about it. And I remember just being in church on New Year's Eve and just praying, you know, like in church on New Year's Eve, people, you pray, you kind of are in that place with God. And I just felt like I got, like, sign off and approval from God to go into entrepreneurship the following year. And I don't want to put too much pressure on that. What's your New Year's message? But that was just because this New Year, there was no like sign from this guy to it. So it doesn't happen every New Year's, but I felt like I got the sign off. And that was obviously December 2019. It was only in December 2020 that I quit my job. And in March 2021 that I officially properly left the job. So also there was like still like 12 to 15 months. And I think that sign off from God is really important, which sounds really big because people are like, what do I want to, what's God saying? But I think that sometimes we ask ourselves like, oh, well, how do I know my purpose? And you actually do. I really strongly believe like in each of us, we all have a gut and we all have a spirit inside of us, irrespective of what we believe, because we're all human beings. There are moments where you've thought, oh, I should have just trusted. I knew this would be like this, or I had the feeling. That thing is within us all the time. So it's about cultivating the space to listen to it. So how do you do that? You do that by really getting to know yourself. I think the people that I've observed that tend to struggle the most with like, do I know what I want to do? They are, for very different reasons, you know, we're all from different like contexts, but they maybe have placed too much attention and respect on the opinions of other people.
Or on the thing, having to have a thing,
because there's not a thing. Like, yes, I'm doing marketing right now, but to me, that's not, it's almost inconsequential because the actual thing that I'm meant to do in my life is to live according to whatever God's calling me to at a particular time, to live on my own terms. So if tomorrow it's like, actually, there's a new direction, then I will completely be open to what that direction will be. It won't change overnight, but I will be open to the change. I'm not very forceful in that sense. I'm very relaxed. But the truth is that, like, no one can ever give you the full, a fully, like, perfect piece of advice because they don't know you. Yeah, they don't know. They don't know your full skill set. Even if it is someone like a parent or a sibling, they don't know your potential. Yeah. They don't know the future. The only person who knows any of that is not even a person that's God. Yeah, so it's like 100%. You definitely listen to advisors, but listening to advice and clinging onto it as the solution are two very different things.
And just what about your earlier days of work, Abiola? Because you were saying you only left your job in 2020, right? Yeah. But you'd felt in 2019, God speak to you about, like, this is the go-ahead to becoming an entrepreneur. Can you tell us just about that journey of, like, finishing work? I know that was a bit of a... Well, a really tough time for you. I don't know if that was the same. Was that the same time?
There's layers to it.
There's layers. Like, yeah, just tell us. Yeah. Just tell us your story, like, of work and like thinking about goals and like knowing. You know, we're going to be talking about like knowing the right time to act.
Right. Yeah.
Like your whole experience with that.
Okay, I'll give you an abridged version for each of the like bits, because there's quite a few bits, and then we can go into what kind of like piqued your interest. So end of uni, didn't know what I wanted to do, and I had a friend who was applying to all these management consultancies, and I thought at the time, my only thought was basically that I don't think I'm going to be a lawyer because I don't want to be surrounded by papers every day of my life, and I think I might want to have my own business one day, so I'll do that.
Yeah.
Because management consultants like help people run their business, and I hadn't studied business. So that was the logic. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I'm meant to do this. It was just like, okay, what's the information that I do have?
Yeah.
I know I don't want to be working 14-hour days in a bank. I'm not going to be surrounded by papers. I've done internships and it's not for me. I do know that I may want to have a business. Don't know what it is. Don't know when. I hadn't. All I knew was I think I might want to have a business. There was no time, no nothing.
Okay.
And with that information, I thought, and I want to have like a decent salary. So I thought, okay, I'll just do this. Like it was nothing more than that.
Yeah.
So I did consulting and I absolutely loved it. And I still highly, highly recommend it. I had a great time. I wanted to be a partner. I had amazing partners and support. But at the same time, this was like the time of Instagram really becoming like a thing and tech companies like Facebook, Snapchat starting. And I was really curious about the energy that entrepreneurship had. And I guess it's a self-determination thing. Like you'd hear all these stories of like 25-year-olds just being like, oh, I think I want to make an app that makes pictures disappear after 24 hours. I'll just build it. And it became a thing. Yeah. And I loved that, that energy. Mm.
Yeah.
So I got really into the like tech communities in London. And it made me, and through that, I started to, like, I should also say at the same time, I had my own personal spiritual awakening.
Mm, right.
So this was like this is a big part of the story, actually. So that same like year, 2015, I basically started to have my own relationship with God.
Wow.
Just from like, I just got invited one day to like a Bible study and it just everything just clicked.
Started to fall into place.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, wow, this is crazy. And I thought, wow, if I've lived my whole life in church, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It was a great social. Yeah. For me, it was just social. Yeah, social. We had a great social life, all the kids in church. It wasn't more than that.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I'm not someone who's like been so turned off by the church, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is this in the Bible?
Yeah.
Then definitely other people don't even know this is in here, because I've been someone who's technically should know and I'm shocked.
Yeah.
So what about everybody else?
Yeah.
And that was, so I started a blog about it. I'm quite like if I see a problem, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is a solution and I'll do it. So I started a blog and I made friends with loads of people in tech and I kept this blog going. And as I was learning how to improve the blog, I'm like very independent and I can like self-teach myself loads of stuff. Yeah. And I realized that what I was learning of how to make a good blog, how to do a mailing list, all that stuff was called marketing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I actually love this. Like, it's great. Like, it's creative. I can make a beautiful blog, but it's also like, you've got to look at your open rates and numbers and all this stuff. So I was like, okay, I want to get a job in marketing. So then fast forward, that took like 2 years, started working more corporate marketing. So it took like a bit of a shift.
Yeah, a bit of a sidestep.
Yeah, maybe. A little bit of a sidestep. Mm. So it was like a bit marketing, but still like in the same industry that I was working in. Mm. So I did that for a couple of years. And at that point, I started to have some really challenging, in that job, it was really challenging, not the work, but the people dynamics of corporate life.
Yeah.
It was very, very challenging. And I was also experiencing like a similar, I learned from my therapist that there was a similar parallel experience at home. Wow, as I'd mentioned, like, I'm an older sibling. So I had two levels of responsibility. My therapist basically showed me that I had two levels of responsibility that I shouldn't maybe have been taking on. And it was just taking a big toll on me.
Wow.
And one of my friends from this tech community, who's a few years older than me, I was telling her about it. I was saying, you know, I'm just feeling like, I don't know what I was saying, but she just said, you know, that actually it sounds like you're really going through something and you should speak to your GP. And if they assess you, I think you should go off work. I think you should take a few months off. So I went to the GP, I told them how I was feeling. I was having like, I was very depressed. I was having like suicidal ideation. It was just very like intense.
Yeah.
And so I got signed off and I spent like 3 months in bed, which was interesting, but 3 months in bed not really doing like much apart from like, I think I became vegan in the time. I just have to put my mental health first because I just feel like this is just, it's just there's too much going on. And I didn't, I'm not someone who would ever say to anyone just quit your job with no plan. That's not that's not my vibe. But I just felt like, you know what, at this point I'm still living at home. Even if I have no money, at least I'll
you've got somewhere to sleep and eat.
At least. So I quit my job, and then like the week after I was like, okay, so now I'm unemployed, like what should I be doing? That was a trying time because it was like, this was now 2018. I was 26 into 27. I had friends getting married and I was like, I'm
feeling
an intern and it's interesting. So that was like, but that was what I just needed the break and just to figure that out.
I just wanted to ask, because you just, that this, that decision to even tell someone this is what I'm going through, because it's still quite like, mental health was a thing, but even at that time it was still something quite new. Who taught you about mental health to say, actually something is not right, and because of that I need to step back from work? Because I think now people know to say it, but who taught you about mental health? Like, where did you get that from, like understanding that I need to deal with this, otherwise everything.
That's also more important than going to work at the minute.
That's a really, really good question. No one's ever asked me that before. I think, so prior, during all this time, I was interested in like self-development. So I always read like self-helpy books. So to me, like maybe it was from there, just like knowing that, like trying to solve problems and help yourself. And it wasn't that, like, and even though I'm quite a private person, I don't talk loads about what I'm going through. I think I just felt very also safe with this individual. And I think seeing her as someone like who was kind of a mentor, like four or 5 years ahead of me in terms of age. And I think I just knew that I needed to come out. That said, I had, and I was doing therapy at the time, but I had done therapy a couple of years before. I think I just, I think there's a massive through line between building intimacy with God, developing yourself in a non-spiritual way, and then also understanding your mental, like understanding that, because all those three things are like your mindset, your actual mind, and your spirituality, they're all intangible. So I think I just had a really good understanding that you don't have anything if you don't have those intangibles.
If you don't have those things, you know? So, and if they're not healthy, like the impact that has, not just in the moment, but like the long-term impact it has on your life. But it is still a big, it is a big thing to step away from work. I know why you're asking the question.
Because again, like, it was, I come from, I did a more corporate law. Now I'm in a much more people-orientated law, but there was just this message. It never stops. Everybody else is working. It never stops. And I think it's only because I saw people doing other things that my mind would wonder that I don't have to take this, but I'm not creative, or I'm not so, like, where, how do I jump off? And I think it was actually, it's a really sad story, but someone finished their training contract, qualified, and committed suicide. And I was just starting my training contract, and I just thought, I kind of know why he did that, even though it sounds like the best achievement. Like, this is what I've been working for. For years. It took me years to get to get a training course. Years. So I just thought, but I understood immediately when I heard the story, and I thought, I'm going to call a therapist. Like, I'm going to call somebody today. But it shouldn't have to get to that place where, because someone else is suffering, you're like, oh, maybe I need to get some, have a conversation and get some help. And you're just saying the connection between your relationship with God, self-development as well,
and your awareness through, therapy as well.
Yes, it's a powerful thing. But to connect the two, I think sometimes Christians don't think they have to self-develop because we have Jesus, and actually we have to do the work.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the message that we can say better?
You have to do the work because you have Jesus. Mm. You don't not do the work, because,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
it's still practical. Yeah. But I think it's such a good point. And I think one of the biggest things is your surroundings. So that's why I mentioned the tech story, because even though I was not in class with Mark Zuckerberg, like being surrounded by stories like that
different
made me think, okay, these people are just like making stuff and making it work. So I don't have to... You can just kind of do what you want in life.
And that's a mindset thing as well, though, isn't it? Like, they're the mindset. Yeah. Like, I'll build this. Mm. We'll try it. We'll see how it works. Right? If it doesn't work, we'll try something else.
Yeah.
So that's kind of... When you're in an environment like that, that can be quite...
It's
addictive, in a good way. It's like, freeing. I can do it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very freeing, and it really disarms, like, this idea of, like, you have to succeed in this way, or you have to only succeed the first time you do it. So that's why, like, tech is such a big part, even though I'm non-technical, it's been such a big part of my development.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, when you mentioned this corporate thing, I think it's really important, because what I loved about corporate life is I learned so much. I had like the best foundation, but I also think a challenge of it is, you know, you are trained to think a certain way. So I remember when I quit my job, I went to a competitor, but I didn't go to a competitor doing the same thing. I became internal, like as a marketer. Right. So it wasn't as if I was going to steal clients from my company, and someone who had achieved all the things at a fast speed in the company I was in. And as I've said, I love that experience. I would do it 100% again the same way. But one person actually said to me, we had a meeting, and again, like I said, this was someone who was very successful. They'd reached a certain point in like record time. So I was wanting to be his mentee.
Yeah.
And he just said to me, like, this firm rewards loyalty. So think about what you're doing. And I think someone else would have probably been like,
don't
whoa.
Work here.
They probably would have stayed, you know, and thought, I'm going to ruin my reputation in the corporate world.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I think I've just known for a long time that it's impossible, in my view, for anything or anyone to be the holder of your destiny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't tell me this and, like, I'm going to think this is going to... At that point, I think I was, like, 24, about to be 25, and I thought, there's no way that this threat is going to change, is going to put a limit on my whole life.
Yeah.
I just don't believe that.
Because I've seen the shift in my brain from the early 20s to now, where it's like, no one's going to die kind of thing. But when you first start, it is a mentality that if you don't show up, it's going to crash. The whole company's going to crash without you. And if they can work without you, you're not that important either.
Yeah, it's you're like, not that valuable.
Will it crash? Will it? It's just how to learn that, no, you don't determine the course of my life. Yeah. You know, you're not in charge. It's a journey. It takes years to be able to voice it and say, actually, I don't agree. I disagree. Yeah. I think I've learned over time how to even speak back to my own thoughts and say, no, Sinead, like, get it together, Sinead. Like, that's not true. But it's taken a long time to speak out back to myself or other people who I sometimes respect. I mean, I had a mentor that would say, oh, I just don't think this is for you. And I think I went away and I prayed. And then I came back and I said, I'm sorry, I disagree.
Yeah.
But it took a lot for me to come back and say that to him. It took a lot. I was like, I was going through a very difficult time at that time. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you know, you don't know the fullness of who I am.
Yes.
And that was a moment in time. And honestly, I could be wrong. He could be completely right. That thing is not for me. But I just felt so grateful that I could say that to him. But it took a lot for me to say that to him, because I respected him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what is the balance between respecting someone's opinions and taking wisdom, as opposed to just, no, actually, I'm going to forge my own path?
Yeah.
What is the balance there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is, like, is respect following exactly what someone says to a T?
Yeah. Questioning even what respect is.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that's it, but I think that many of us have been trained to think that.
Yeah.
So I hear people say things like, oh, I don't want to hurt my parents. And I'm like, honestly, the best thing you can do for your parents is live according to what you've been called to do. And I know that's a practice. And like you said, it took a whole process. Yeah. It takes time, and that's okay. Like, life, by God's grace, is long. And even if it isn't, the days feel long when you're trying to get from A to B. So you might as well just, like, just kind of stay in that a bit. Yeah, and I always say, like, and it's something I remember saying from a young age, I think from sixth form, that I would rather try and fail and know that, okay, fine, this person was right, but at least I know.
Yes,
rather you know than for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rather than when I'm 60, be like, what if I had done this?
Yeah.
That thought, I just can't live my
life.
For me, that's a very big push. It's like, would you rather try and find out and potentially fail, or would you always stay on the sidelines and watch other people do it and just feel like... I should have. That thought, the thought of that is just like absolutely harrowing. It's literally harrowing to me. Like,
just like my heart is beating.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So you're not a priest in the Church of England now, right?
No.
I didn't think so. But I would look, what happened beyond that then? Because was that just like a year? Did you were seeing that kind of as a year out and like finding yourself, or were you considering that as an option? Was that a real option, or was it just?
I literally just thought, at the beginning, I thought, well, I have a Christian blog, so maybe it is.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought,
anything is possible.
I just thought, sure. But by the end of it, I realised that actually that...
It wasn't for you.
Yeah, for me, business and entrepreneurship is really important and something I'd like to explore. Mm. As much as I, like, thoroughly believe in church projects and ministries and all that stuff, I was just like, I think for me...
Mm. It's not your full-time pathway,
no, it's not my full-time pathway. So I came out and... a friend said to me that, you know, I have a friend and they are starting a marketing company and maybe they'll hire you. And I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's try again. Like, I've tried so many times. And now by this point, it's like, I think end of 2018 or so. Mm. And I'm like, let's give it a go. Mm. Let's see. And because it was a startup. So this is another thing about life and choices. Mm. I knew how many steps, remember I said before, someone said to me, looked at my profile and was like, you're not even creative. So I'd done loads of interviews, I'd done stuff, and all I could get was like, at that point, like corporate marketing, which was great, but it wasn't the next step. Mm. And I thought, okay, well, they're a startup, so like maybe they'll be more open to me because I can go in and I can pitch my skills, which I know are valuable. I also never ever thought like, oh, my experiences are irrelevant. No. I actually always thought they were good. And throughout this whole time, even during the ministry training, as I mentioned, because I was putting this stuff out through my blog, and I was in these tech communities, I actually had clients. Oh, so not big clients. Yeah, I was doing things for people and getting paid. Not any money that was significant. Yeah. You couldn't live off it, but I was doing things.
But you were being paid.
So I was able to have a CV that was really diverse. So I pitched myself to these guys, these young founders of this marketing company. And I was like, this is all the experience that I've actually done off my own back. Mm-hmm. And I have a law degree and I've worked in strategy and I've worked in business. Like, this is what I can offer. And they were like, yeah, sure, but we're going to put you on a starting salary.
Yeah.
So I basically went back to the salary. By this point, it's like, I don't know, 2018, 19, and I'm working on a salary that was the same as when I was a graduate, right? But I was like, I don't care. I'm happy to take... I know that this is a strategic choice.
Wow. Yes.
So, that will have, like, you know, it will pay off when the time is right.
Yeah.
So I got into that marketing company, which was really great.
Yeah.
I learned loads of stuff, amazing place to work, really, really loved it, great place to learn. Mm. And it was an agency. Mm. So one of our clients there was, we were having a general meeting and I put this deck together around all the stuff that they should be doing.
Mm.
And it was just based on my own knowledge. So that company I worked at was focusing specifically on performance marketing, which is basically like paid ads and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all these other thoughts about, but your social media should look like XYZ anyway, like even if you were not doing ads. And the clients really liked me and the head of social resigned and the client asked me to be the head of their social media.
Yeah.
And so I had two jobs now. I was a senior manager. I got promoted also like once or twice. I think I got promoted twice after starting that job within like a year. And I then became the head of social at this client side. So I had two jobs, which was fascinating and incredibly stressful. Mm. But that was basically the springboard that allowed me to start my own thing.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned sort of strategic decision making as you see it that way.
Mm.
And I think of the fear of failure and how that literally has people in a chokehold, myself included. And why you were able to frame it as this is not a stab in the dark. This is not risk. This is strategic. Like this is me pulling myself out of the rat race but how did you see through that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of us can't see through that, you know?
Yeah, I think I generally have had a growth mindset.
Okay.
Yes. So I think there's two things. Like, yeah. I think I knew that. I think you can only not see through that if you think that that's the only that you're going to get in life.
Yeah.
Whereas I just knew that if you make... I think this is another thing, like I said, about surrounding yourself with interesting stories. I think anyone that I think is remotely interesting, yeah. I've searched everything. I've Googled them, I listened to their podcast. Yeah. And when you listen to the lives of successful people, who also all my role models are like over 50, now to be most of them over 60. Yeah. When you listen to the story of their lives, it's very zigzaggy, it's a hodgepodge. So I think I knew that.
Okay.
I'm very good at, like, I can look at someone who's a rocket scientist, let's say, does something completely different from me, but I understand principles. And I just saw that it's actually not, you don't have to go, it's not, you don't have to go linear to expect to get here. You don't have to be on a path. You can be on a path, but you don't have to be on a path. And if you take a choice that looks like a difficult choice or like a risk, it's not career suicide. It's not going to cap your earning potential. Yes. If you yourself are, you know, always looking, when I say always looking for opportunities, not desperately, but if you're if you're proactive and you're just, you put your best foot forward. Yeah. I just had that in the back of my mind always, that there's no ceilings except for the ones that you accept.
Yes.
And I think that was a big, it was just a personal thing.
And thinking about, like, knowing when it's right to act. Because we quite often say, like, the time is now. But then, I mean, I don't always know if the time is now for everything. So, like, for you, Abiola, like, just even talking about your journey through your different careers, like how you said
it's like 10 careers.
Yeah, but you're like, you've always been, you know, you're like, I've always been that way. I've always been really multifaceted. You may not have been able to put it into words at the time, and people are looking at your CV like, oh, you're not very creative, but I love that you rejected that, by the way. Yeah. But going through all of that, I don't know. I just feel like the rhetoric is the time is now.
Yeah.
But for you, maybe coming out of uni, the time wasn't then to start a business. Now, you had that thought.
Yeah.
Right. I think I'm probably going to start a business one day. But, like, how did you determine, like, the time is now? Was it just by what was happening? You had two jobs, the clients are growing, and it's like, right, it's now or never.
Yeah, basically. So I think, like, overall, I always see life as very incremental. So I don't see things as, like, This one big shot. I'm gonna I'm either gonna jump or fall off. I just see it as like, okay, this has emerged based on what I've known so far. This could be a good option. And again, you're always doing things like making sure that I was, you know, asking God as much as I could. Doesn't always mean I felt like I got a clear yes, but I also think that opportunities present themselves.
Yes.
If I've been, you know, let's say, like, thinking about entrepreneurship, and then suddenly I'm getting clients to the point where it's almost the same as my salary.
Yeah.
Then the data kind of
speaks for itself.
And you're like, okay, actually, I can take this jump because it's actually not that significant. And if it is, you also have to disarm your fears by, like you said, speaking back to yourself. So the first one was, I remember when I first quit my first career in quit management consulting, I thought, okay, what am I going to do? What are you going to do if things go wrong? Actually, let's think about it now. If my management my shift away from management consulting was a disaster, I would go onto LinkedIn and look for another management consulting job. It's actually not. I had to get to that logic.
But was, like, that helpful for you? Yes. Like, just even thinking practically, like, sometimes we build something up of, like, what would I do? And we just leave the question there and don't do anything with it. And I actually had a bit of an epiphany moment when you were saying that. Like, oh, yeah, you can actually answer the question, like, what would I do?
Just answer the question.
And have a plan. But that's so practical.
It's so
powerful.
I just see it as, like, it's just logic. And I think what stops us from that is probably just the shame of, like, failure. Not wanting to feel like we've done something wrong, which I completely understand. But then you just have to be like, you know what? Also, who's actually going to know that it will just look like a few months off of your CV and then you're back? So that really made me really confident. And I think that's become like a recurring thing, which is, if this actually goes wrong, what are the options? It's not as if you're now on a remote island and you can never get another job. Like, you can actually just apply for another job. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is not...
It's not as big as I've built it up to be.
Yeah, at all. It's just another stepping stone on your journey of life. And that frees you up to just be like, fine, I'll do it.
Do you think women of faith sometimes don't... I'm just thinking about your dialogue with God when you are stepping out, or you're saying, I'm going to try new things, and you don't, it's not necessarily you need permission, but it must be, there's an exchange of confidence that if God is in me, why can't I, kind of thing. Just I can just hear it in your in how you're describing your decision making. But do you think women of faith don't hear that themselves enough? Because this job thing is really big for a lot of people.
It's,
I think,
big.
And people jump, so they go from, oh my gosh, I absolutely hate my job now, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, which may not be your call, you just needed a sidestep. And they jump so far, and they just really should have just had a better dialogue with God about what they're doing daily and what brings them joy or fulfillment. You know, how can people learn how to do that in a better way rather than these severe breaks, you know, things like
you
that.
Said with the time is now. It's like, if you have an idea, it's not the time is now. So for me, this is what it looks like practically. Like, I will have a thought that, say I want to, I don't know. So one thing that we're working on is, like, I want to be able to produce more like video content with clients. So whether that's like ads or campaigns. So have a thought. And then I will, I'm very big on journaling. Like, to me, I always say, like, I journaled myself, like, out of confusion into clarity. Like, that is the thing. And so I'll be like, okay, God, this is what has happened in life. Like, so in that example, you know, did an ad for a client, was very successful, made them, like, £250,000. And then I would love to do more of this. That's that's the statement.
Wow.
Okay, so you've written it down. I'm writing. People always say that the, what is it? The shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory.
Right.
And so writing that down. Also, when you write stuff, I feel like, I'm, this sounds very old school and academic, but like when you write things, it, I feel like it just goes in your brain a bit more.
Yeah, it does.
So right, so now that's there. Let's say 6 months down the line, you, something happens that confirms, not even confirms, but just maybe is the next opportunity. And you're like, okay, I'll do that. So I don't try and like force things. And I really think, like, a good example, and this is going to sound, so like I said, everything I do is a hodgepodge. So the things that I make connections with, like, other people may be a bit like, what?
We're here for it though, Abby, also go.
So one of the things that, I can't remember, I think it was actually Mary, the mother of Jesus, but there's a phrase, it was Mary actually, and there was, I think it was when Jesus was like in the synagogue and as a young child, and she like took him away. But there's a story in Mary's life where it just says, and Mary kept this matter in mind. And I think sometimes we think, I have an idea, so I'm going to blow up my whole life to do it. Which sometimes, you know, maybe that's what you're called to do, but sometimes you just have to keep the matter in mind because over time, different things will confirm and add and create like, path, not even just confirm, but like create opportunities that you're like, I can take that. And I think even just in Mary's conception, right? So, you know, the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a son. And she's like, how? Because I'm a virgin. And, you know, you're going to have a son. It's going to be like this. And she just says, like, okay, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It wasn't, great, so I need to now figure out how I'm going to get pregnant. And I feel like that actually happens with a lot of people. Another example is, like, obviously Joseph. Like, he had recurring dreams, by the way. So, again, you can have recurring thoughts about what your life could look like. Didn't really do anything about it, maybe except for wrongly tell his brothers. I don't even know if that was wrong. People always criticize him a lot for like wrongly doing it, but he didn't really do anything. What then happened was a series of steps. So maybe now when the opportunity came to be the prime minister of Egypt, because of those dreams, he could say yes to the opportunity. He didn't conjure and manufacture it.
Yeah.
And I think the example of Mary as a, as, and the biology of having a baby, like, is you, like, I always say, like, you conceive, like, it's a conception, right? So you conceive, and I feel like with where you go in life, you conceive what God gives you. You don't conjure it. So if you if you look on Instagram today and you see everyone, you know, creating a beauty brand, and you're like, I'm gonna do that too, you're conjuring something. And it's not that's how you start to kind of get, you know, mixed up in choices that maybe you shouldn't have made or need to like now correct. Whereas if you're walking in God, or not even, if you're walking with God, you're listening, you're journaling, you're actually observing the practicalities of your life and stuff lining up, you can actually realize that actually I'm conceiving this this life is telling me these things. I'm going to just keep digesting it, and I'm going to be receptive to when an opportunity presents itself.
That's amazing.
That thing you just said about like writing things down and how it almost cements something. Somebody said a while ago, like, I write to discover what I know. So it's almost really like you're letting out what's inside. I just keep thinking about it in relation to your story as well. There's all these different things going around, but you almost sense like, this is who I am, this is what I am, and I'm ready to move through life. But that thing of writing things down, because we take so much information in,
exactly.
we absorb so much information, it's sometimes hard to know, right, what's me and what's everybody else? Yeah, even going back to the fashion thing right at the beginning, it's like, what do I like, or what am I told that I should like?
Yeah.
And that's so key in your story as well, Abiola, is like letting out what's in, like ruminate as well. Yeah.
And you like sort, it ends up being like a sort through it. And I love that. Like, what was the quote they said?
I write to discover what I know. And so it's almost like it's in there, but you're organizing it.
You're sourcing through. And people always ask me, they're like, so what should I write in my journal? And I'm like, that's not the question, actually. And I wanted to touch on it quickly because we've talked about journaling a lot. I think people think, like I've heard... maybe I just live like a radical life. I've heard people do things like they lie to their therapist because they don't want to appear in a certain way. And I think when people ask the question of like journaling, it's a similar energy of like, what should I write? There's nothing
here.
Write whatever. Write, I hate today.
And
if that's all you have to say to start and just continue the thought. My journal literally looks like, this happened to me today and I think it was connected to this, but maybe it's not. Actually, I changed my mind and you go on
It's literally what the quote that you said.
It's literally that. And I think... again, because we want to get things right the first time, whatever right means, we can't even be honest with ourselves in our journal or somewhere so confidential like therapy. Like, just let it out.
Let it out. I remember I taught a lesson about vision to like teenagers and I was saying, oh, Oprah wrote a journal every day of her life. And it was one thing that they always remembered, like, you know, fun facts of what do you, and they always remember that she journaled her day every single day. And I was like, I'm going to do it because Oprah is successful. Not knowing that, actually, it was therapeutic for me.
Yes.
So even, yes, you can see somebody who you admire doing something, but what you're saying is you're looking at the principle, you're extracting that principle and then using it for your life, you know, and not wondering, oh, is anyone going to read this journal? Journal's going to be public, my memoir, and things like that, you know. Yeah. I think we do live in that culture of, will it be published? How will it sound?
Yeah.
And, you know, even when I'm sometimes studying the Bible, I'm just asking God, let this be just for me. It's not a not everything is a sermon.
Yeah, yeah,
this is for me
and
him, you know, and just having that separation of what I need and what I want to take from, you know, that time.
It's that thing as well, when you're saying that, like, not everything's a sermon, not everybody's prayer. No, I was thinking about, like, we always say, like, everything's content. Like, actually, no, not everything is content.
It's not.
And I think especially when it comes to things like that, if everything, if that's your mentality, like, everything's content, you put things out too soon or you make a decision too soon.
And you don't even realize, you don't know what you think about things. And I've worked with people sometimes who are like, they're like, I want to do this and this. And then they realize that they don't want to do anything because they haven't like sat. And I think just being able to like sit and reflect and give yourself that space is like, it's honestly life-changing. It's life-changing.
And so when you were at that point as well, that Abiola, of like, okay, maybe making the jump to be like fully fledged entrepreneur, like this has been kind of happening, it seems like the right time. I think even though that seemed like an obvious step to you, I think also for a lot of people and a lot of us, I would say, you see risk and you just think, oh, right, and start overthinking everything. And I know, like, what do you think about the word risk?
Yeah.
I know you've kind of, like, redefined your relationship with it, really.
I just don't really see it as risk. I just, like I said, I see things as incremental. So they're not really risk. You're just, like, learning and trying.
Wow.
And that's all. And I say, like, I definitely do think that I have a high, like, risk appetite, maybe, in life. But I do just think... It's not a risk. Yeah. It's almost an investment in yourself because you're just like, let me just see. And I also think like I'm quite practical, and I think sometimes I'm very much a dreamer, but I'm also I then try and translate it into like practical life. And I'm like, you know what? If I actually am saying that I think that this God thing is like a real thing, then why am I? Why am I hiding? If I have these different, like, let's say three things happen to me that all confirm that maybe I should take this next step, what else is there to between those three things or those two things and the knowledge that, you know, I always challenge myself, like, if you think this thing is real, your faith is real, then you might as well choose to live according to it. If not, just forget it. You know, like, why are we in the middle trying to like, let me live as if it's true and like, God, you show me what I just think it's I think we need to stop overcomplicating things and just be like, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. And also I think God, you know, he knows that he cares about us. And I think yes, there are times where things don't work out, but I think big picture, God also wants you to have the experiences that you're called to have anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So between all those things, I'm like, how much more information or how much more reassurance do we need to just take action? That's like a question I always ask myself. And I'm very into, like I mentioned, like during the time, and I had a really bad like bout of like poor mental health at being like really living in affirmations. And for me, making that transition into starting my own thing, I still had the thought that if it all fails, I'll just get another job. Like I needed to say that to myself to like be practical. But on top of that, I had other things. Like I was very, I had my affirmations, and all my affirmations aren't like, they're not based on how I feel about myself. They're actually typically like based on the scripture, because I think that, or like based on the Bible, and like based on Bible passages, because again, this idea that if you think this thing is real, then live according to what's in it. And if not, that's also fine. Yeah. But I'm not going to say I am and then be like, oh, but that's outdated. Like, I'm like, let me, if God says, you know, that, you know, like live by faith and don't shrink back, then I'm going to turn, make an affirmation, which is I live by faith and I'm not going to shrink back. Like that's how I do my affirmations. Yeah. And that, again, this mindset thing, your mind, your spirit, your mindset, those, when you say those things, and you, and it's also in the Bible as well, that you have to put God's words into your heart. And I think that's because when we're a product of all the truths or untruths that we've digested in life from wherever, from the internet, from social media, from parents, from life experience. So part of your life is reprogramming your mind. And this is not even just biblical. Like coaches call this neurolinguistic programming. Like coaches will always tell you to repeat, repeat and reprogram your mind. So I think reprogramming your mind allows you to make these choices that feel like risks when they're not. They're just
We've overcomplicated it, essentially. So we've got some audience dilemmas that's just part of the Magnify community. People are sending different things in. And so are you okay if I ask you one and you kind of share your wisdom on it? So it just says this: over the past 2 years, I've been getting serious about changing my life around. For a long time, it felt like I was just cruising through life. Everything was just okay, but I didn't feel like I was pushing myself in any area. And that meant also I wasn't growing either. I had a big health scare, which is what kick-started this new direction as I realised life is short. All of a sudden, the comfortable mindset I had lived with for years really bothered me. So I started investing in myself through books, workshops, getting fit, eating well, and going back to church. I want to go all in on my career ambitions too, which is something I felt really excited for, but I was shocked by my friend's reaction. I was met with a lot of doubt and them saying they'll believe it when they see it. This made me feel really frustrated because I know I'm serious about this, but I guess they just know me as a friend who's happy in contentment staying in the same place and job forever. While I know I shouldn't let their opinions bother me, their support really means a lot to me, and what they think of me definitely impacts how I think of myself too. I don't want negative voices to become a limitation or knock my confidence, so I'd love to get some advice on how to overcome negative opinions.
That's really intense, so thanks for sharing that. And it's disappointing but not rare or unsurprising that the friends would say that, because we live in a world that has, you know, given us a very narrow view of what life should look like. So they're not necessarily mean. They might, you might have to review your friends, but it may also just be a, it may just be a manifestation of, you know, where the world, because people are, you know, I never had friends who were like, you shouldn't do that, but I think I definitely saw like my friends be like,
perhaps they were thinking that, but didn't verbalize it.
And I don't blame anyone for that, because again, we're all a product of this, and being able to kind of live on your own terms or live outside of the norm is a continued practice. I will just say, I'll probably honestly start with, like you already said, you know, you don't want to just, you need to ignore their opinions. But I think, no, it's hard. It's easier said than done. So I think one, understanding where it's coming from, it's not actually coming from a knowledge of the future, a knowledge of your skill set, a knowledge of the internal thoughts that you've been having. It's coming from a function of the world that we live in and the natural fears that people create to keep us in a certain, like, box. I would also say, again, embedding the truth, like you said before, like speaking to yourself about the truth, which is, I'm going to just, you know, go for it and give you a verse. And it's that, you know, those who trust in the Lord are like a tree planted by by streams. They bear fruit in every season. And even when the heat comes, they're not afraid. And I think that that might be, or maybe similar verses to that, something to internalize and be like, okay, God, you know, you've said that those who dwell with you are going to bear fruit. We're going to be like trees. We're going to be evergreen. Like, so, or even when difficult situations, like when heat comes, we won't fear. So help me to do that. And that's one of my personal affirmations. And that's something that I know it sounds like very like abstract and woo woo, but that it all starts like in the intangible. I also think like in addition to that, yes, maybe you told them the end picture. And so they're like, yeah, they'll believe it when they see it because it's a big thing. But you can also just take the... So action is the biggest confidence builder. So if your dream is to... I don't know what the things are that you be, you're being told or feel like you need to do, but let's say your dream is to start a... like a media studio where you have all these lights and all these cameras and things, why don't you start by maybe just going to one and asking them... how they run. Why don't you maybe find a photographer and a videographer and work with them, even if you don't have a physical space, and just be like, I want to take pictures with people. Just start with one thing, because when you see how well it's going, you'll have the confidence to get to the next step of it. I think, action really dispels a lot of doubt internally, but also for other people. It's very, when people start to see things, they have confidence, and you're not doing it for them, but you'll find that as you do things, those voices will
diminish. So helpful. And then just lastly, because this has been so helpful and practical, I don't know, do you feel that way?
I'm like writing so many things down after this.
Like, I wish I had my pen with me right now. But just for you personally, because we're a community as well, like, is there anything you're doing or working on or enjoying at the minute that we can support you in as the Magnify community?
That's great. So, I mean, for anyone who does have a like business that they're growing, obviously we are a marketing company, but one thing we're really proud of to do this year is to launch our marketing school course, which is basically a 5-week program to help smaller businesses get the fundamentals of how to be a brand that people remember. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out. And also you can listen to my podcast, which is nothing to do with marketing. It's all about like mindset shifts. It's called Take What You Need. But those are the two things I'm really passionate about at the moment. Amazing. So thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abiola, for your wisdom.
It's been great.
It's been so much to take back. Amazing.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Magnify Conversations. We hope you've enjoyed it and found it really value adding. If you're new to our community, or perhaps you just joined us for the first time today, we have an Instagram. Our handle is at Magnify Collective. You'll be able to find everything you need there to keep up to date with us. Next up, if you have a story that you would like to share on the Magnify Conversations, you can go on our website, magnifycollective.com, and share your story with us. We really look forward to seeing you for next week's episode on Monday.